anything that GE had ever made. We could make the wire to rebuild whatever piece of equipment they had in 7 days and ship it. And I was working from 11 at night to 7 in the morning so I could farm in the daytime because I always wanted to be a farmer. So I wasn't a very nice guy because I wasn't sleeping much. I slept when it was raining because I was farming. And I had two little boys. My wife left me one day and took the kids and got a court order that I couldn't bother or anything. So anyway, GE shut down for 2 weeks in the summer so they could repair the equipment, do maintenance, and everybody got 2 weeks off at the same time. And I had a brother that lived in Kansas City. So I'm singing the song, going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm going to get me one. Well, my brother had a motorcycle, and we borrowed another one from a friend of his, went for a ride. And that's the last thing I remember. I woke up, I guess I rolled the motorcycle. My brother gave me CPR, kept me alive. I woke up in the hospital and had a cast from my toe up to my hip. I got home. There I was. I got a neighbor to take care of my livestock. I couldn't drive because my car was four on the floor. And with a cast from my toe to my knee, I couldn't push the clutch pedal in. Couldn't drive the car. I was bored. Our TV was busted. I know that Churchill was in the encyclopedia. I was reading the 1939 encyclopedia, and he hadn't become prime minister yet, so he was a pretty famous fellow. I got that far in the encyclopedia. I bought a farm from a couple Catholic brothers, and they'd left the Douay Bible there. I read that from cover to cover. I read a King James Bible from cover to cover. And my older brother, not the one that saved me, but another one, sent me a New English Bible. I read that from cover to cover. And then the doctors took the cast off my leg and sent me back to work. And my leg used to swell up until my pant leg was tight every day, but I kept on going. And it was the time of the Six-Day War. I was working with her, taking bets one night. See how long it was going to take Egypt to wipe them out. And I laughed at them. They saw me walking away. 3 days later, how did you know? How did you know? I said, I read the book. Moshe Dayan, he read it too. Every kid who spends a Sunday school knows the story. The Battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. The next battle was the Battle of Ai. That's the battle. The Moshe Dayan followed. 6 days. Egypt said, well, they were surrounded. Moshe Dayan could have shot them all down with airplanes. They're all out in the middle of the desert, surrounded by Egyptian warplanes. I can't tell you how long it was. I can't tell you what day it was. I couldn't even tell you what month it was. But it was that same year, several months later. The same group of guys were talking about religion, and I told them I believed Jesus had died for my sins. I'm walking back to the locker room. Now I'm walking, and it's a factory with machinery running all around you. And somebody said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And I turned around, and there was no one there. I could feel my hair stand up. Even today, I can feel it. He's real. Yesterday, I was at a funeral of a kid that had been my youth group. Poor lady, was only 30 years old. She had an aneurysm and passed away. was a sad thing. And I was trying to cheer up the pastor. And I says to him, it's your fault that I've been in Rikers Island. I made him laugh, see? But I've been there. I've been in Auburn Prison. I've been other places sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, I know he's real. And if you go to the back in the vestibule there, there's a dozen or more different languages just to give you a sample of some of the folks we share the good news with. The thing that's been very prevalent in the last year to me, if I can get it out of my pocket, I dropped my wallet at a gas station, the car ran over it, my son gave me a new wallet, and I can't get it out of my pocket. It's a different shape, a little wider than the normal. There it goes. Now, in the wallet is a little card, and on the back of it, there's a app for your cell phone. I give one of these to a teenager, and they won't get as far as that wall, and they're doing this, putting that Bible on their phone. So, and it's good for 60 languages. You can share that with anybody. So, God's Word's going out. Thank you.
His will is that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance to be saved. And so, you're talking about something, Bill, and a gentleman that I know, he was working, and he said a job. Another man came into his shop where he works, and he had a ball cap on, and he had some stringy hair out of it. And he says, I'm here to do the windows. And Andy said, okay, you know, go ahead and do the windows. And he looked at him, and he said, Andy said, is that you, I think it is? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I've been going through some chemo, and the doctors tell me that they can save me with this treatment. And Andy said, as what you're saying, though, confess men, Jesus before others. He said to this man, there's only one who can save you. And the man looked at him and said, are you talking about Jesus Christ? And Andy said, I am. The man shook out his hand and says, we're brothers in Christ. And he said, for about the next half hour or so, all we talked about were the scriptures. And he said, I can't tell you the references or anything else, but I can tell you we talked about Jesus and the Word of God. And the man went and he watched the windows and he said, Andy, I'm leaving. I said, I'll see you again. I don't know if we'll be here to watch the windows, but he says, we will see each other again because of Jesus. The testimony, somewhere along the way, somewhere in life, people drop into shops, people go to GEs, people go to farms, people go all over. But there's somebody there who loves Jesus, who knows that he's real, who will tell them of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, and their lives are never the same again, that they can stand and tell other people, I know he's real. I know he's real. And I pray that all of us will be able to say those same words, that we know he's real. He is. And the Bible says, without faith in Hebrews, right, it's impossible to please God. For all who come to him must believe what? He exists. He is. In other words, that he's real. He is right now. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, we're looking through the churches and Revelation. And as I was sharing with the folks here, so for the Gideons who were here, there was an old USAN Kansas City. I used to play that in a band. So song quite a bit. But there was another song, too, if you remember, if you've been around long enough, from Kenny Rogers in the first edition. And I just dropped in to see what my condition was in. And Jesus drops into the churches to find out what the condition of the churches are. And he is going through the church at Ephesus. And he says to the church at Ephesus, wow, I mean, you guys know the word. You guys are standing up for sound doctrine. Wow. You guys will not tolerate any kind of sin in the church. You will make sure that nothing of the world comes into this body of Christ. Wow. You guys test your teachers and your preachers. You make sure that they're not just preaching the word of God, but they are preaching it rightly. They're dividing the word of truth rightly. Jesus is saying, whoa, what a condition you have. And so the church is ready to leave the doctor's office. And the great physician says, well, hold on a minute. You've been doing all of these things great. However, I've detected something that may look so small on the x-ray, but unless you change it, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. He said, when you first started out, you did everything for me because you loved me. You did not tolerate unsound doctrine because you loved me. You did not tolerate the world and the church because you loved me. You tested your teachers and your preachers because you loved them. But somewhere along the way, you stopped doing the things you did at first. And eventually, you began to do things for yourself. And you loved the church more than you do the Lord of the church. And so Jesus says, I have this thing against you, that you have left your first love. We talked about that a little bit. When we get away from our relationship with Jesus Christ, that love relationship with Jesus Christ, we will gather together. But if we do not love Christ the way we're supposed to, we will not love one another the way we're supposed to. Jesus said, which is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your might. And he said, in the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love God the way he's called us to love him? And this is what Jesus is saying. Eventually, you will stop loving one another. You will do things for yourselves, and they may look good, but eventually something will happen. As in most relationships, there will be a rupture in the relationship with one another because there has been a rupture in the relationship with me. And so the great physician sits the church down in Ephesus, and like any good physician, he gives them the cure for the condition that they have found themselves in. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse number 5, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, turn away, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Jesus is giving this correction to the church. And he's calling the church to return to him. Wow. We know so many people that say, yeah, I used to go here, I used to attend there, but I don't go anymore. Why? And you'll find that they will blame everybody. They will blame the people in the pews, they will blame the pastor in the pulpit, they will blame the music, they will blame all kinds of things, rather than look to them on their own selves. And Jesus says, you look to your own self. Stop blaming one another. Because whenever a believer in Christ goes astray, there is a reason, and it's not the fault of anyone else. There is a problem in the love relationship with that individual and Jesus Christ. So he's calling each believer in the church to go back, and he's issuing the same call to Greenville Center Baptist Church as he will to all other churches. Remember how far you have fallen.
Woo.
Remember how far you have fallen. Have you ever looked back on your life and thinking of, wow, this is how far I had fallen. This is where I was. But look at how far I have come. But something else happens. It's like this roller coaster ride. We always look at where we were and where Jesus took us to. But then when things go awry, we don't want to look at the roller coaster going back down again. Look at how far, he says, you have fallen. Think back over the time when you first fell in love with me. Do you remember his presence? Do you remember a time that you never had water? Oh, I don't know, I just don't sense the presence of God. Well, my Bible says that Jesus said he'll never leave me or forsake me. He's always present. He hasn't walked away from me. I've walked away from him. Do you remember that fervor that we had? That spark that Jesus gave us, always seeking him and desiring him, the desire to pray. Brother Jeff Butler shared this morning, he will remember a time when a group of us men would get up real early in the morning and be at one another's homes by 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would pray together. Like that seems to be things of the wayside now, right? But there was that spark, there was that desire for men to get together in prayer, the church to get together and pray, to come and study God's Word, and to be in the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. And knowing that God is present, the conscious awareness that He is present, that is that relationship that we have with Him, and the joy of rejoicing in His presence. Imagine that. That we just shout when the Word of God is spoken. The Word of God touches your heart in such a way. People say amen and hallelujah. There used to be shouting churches, but we don't shout much more anyway. I don't know why. Maybe we've been told that we shouldn't do that. But I would say you ought to shout when the Spirit of the living God causes you to shout, because we're not shouting for others. We're shouting to the glory of God. But then he says to repent. The question is, what has pulled us away from that deep love relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a reason. There's a whole lot of talk about root causes today, isn't there? Right? But there's a root cause. There is a reason as to why. Paul said to the Galatian church, you are running so well. Who or what hindered your run? Something got in their way. Someone got in their way. They broke up the road that they were running on, and now they're tripping and they're falling and they're going back into bondage. What or who has caused us to fall away, to turn back from Christ? There is this drawing power that's taken us. In other words, what are you attached to that you love more than Jesus? That's up for me to find out, you to find out, but wow, change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Not as long as there's something else pulling us away from Him. What consumes our mind? I have been put in Facebook jail. Hallelujah, right? I don't want to get bailed out.
Amen.
And you know, God does something. It was interesting. We were going to have a meeting up there with the First Baptist and posted it And then all of a sudden I got this stuff coming in saying there's copyright, and then there was none of that because it was Word of Life that sends the information. So there's no copyright infringement.
Yep.
Somebody clicked on those three little dots in the upper right-hand corner, and now with this new thing called Meta, if they don't like it, they can report you, and they will put you in Facebook jail. Yep. They will take down your page, and they will take down any communication that you can have if you want to rectify the problem. It was a praise for me because you know what I realized I was doing? I was finding myself searching this app all the time. Posting, searching. You know what it was? It was taking me away from the real book. Seeking his face in this book. I was seeking other faces and people paying, who knows, good night, some of the stuff that's on there. So I hope I've been in prison for life on Facebook. There's other ways. Isn't it something? And Bill, you would remember that years ago, and the Gideons do it today. But we've been told over the years that knocking on the door is no longer in vogue. But that's the best thing to do. Yes, you leave the door closed in your face here or there and all these other things. But you know what? Jesus sent them out two by two. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Snapchat. He didn't have Instagram or all these other things. They knocked on doors. Dr. Jerry Falwell, when he first started pastoring, he went out and he knocked on over 200 doors a day. He handed out a card, and all he said to the people at the door was this: I'm Jerry Falwell. I'm a new pastor. I don't know if you have a church, but if you don't, please consider Thomas Road Baptist Church. But if you do, and you're brokenhearted, and you need something, he said, you give this number a call. You give this number a call. You call at any time of the day or night. Someone will answer that. He said, I wasn't married yet, and my mother didn't know that I put our home phone number on, and she didn't want to answer that phone. But he did. He knocked on doors, and that's how he shared Jesus with people. And the Lord blessed him. The point is that sometimes we devote our energies to the things that have no eternal value whatsoever. And there's nothing greater than having a face-to-face conversation with another person about Jesus Christ, sitting down and sharing the word with that person. That is what the Gideons are doing, and that is what we are doing. And Jesus is calling the church to get back to a love relationship with him and stop focusing in on all these other things. Commune and fellowship with him, and then lead others to him, that we would commune and have fellowship with one another. What has replaced our thoughts? What do we think on? What do we give our attention to? Where's our investments going? He says, turn away from those things. Matthew 3:2. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isn't it something that Jesus came? I was talking with a young man. He'd love me if I said that. I was talking with Rick Strait yesterday. And Jeff knows Rich. And some of you do as well. And Rich and I were having a wonderful conversation about where we are right now in this age. If you're a strict dispensationalist, I don't know. If you're not, that's okay. But we're looking at it. We got thinking about where we are right now, that Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven. And before he ascended, the time that he spent with his disciples and others, he came teaching them and preaching about the kingdom of God. We are kingdom people. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we are to be about kingdom work. Repent. Turn away from all the other things. Focus on the King and his kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So he's calling the church to remember how far you have fallen. And when you identify those things that have caused you or pulled you away from me, he says, now you turn away from those things. You reject them and have nothing to do with them. And then do the works that you did at first. This is what the scripture is teaching us. Begin now to think. Right now. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Lord, am I acknowledging You in all my ways? Are You the one who's really guiding me? Have I set time aside to open up this blessed book where You reveal Yourself to me and pray? The Spirit of the living God may have His work in our lives to lead us in the way of everlasting and guide us on the path of righteousness. Am I walking like Jesus was? That's what we did. We desire to walk like Jesus walked. There would not be a day we might leave that wallet on our dresser, but today you won't leave your cell phone on your dresser. You'll turn miles around, go get that cell phone. What's happened to us? What's happened to the church? Something has drawn the body of Christ away, the bride away from it. Jesus says to the church, if you do not correct this, your condition is going to kill you. A number of years ago, my son was running cross country, and he had a physical. And we got a call from the radiologist, the doctor, and said, we need to see you. We've identified something on the X-ray. And we went up there, and there was this little spot that would appear in the lower section of his lung. Patty and I immediately thought, it's cancer. Our son has cancer. And immediately, before there had been any veracity, right, any further evidence of follow-up, we had concluded or that something must be done with this condition, or something must. Thank God it was a button, and that's all it was. Right? But something so small, we thought, wow. I mean, there wasn't any large mass. But is there something that all it takes is just a little to ruin the rest of the world? Just a speck. Just a little leaven. He says there is a leaven in you. And Jesus gives us this counsel, this correction here. He says, here's what He will do. He will remove the candlestick. What is that? He will remove the church from its place.
He won't do that.
Well, you argue with Him, I'm not going to. He said He will do that. He will remove the church from its place. What does it mean? What does it mean that He will remove the church? We might have a sign out front, but you won't be a true church. You will not be a true representative of Christ on this earth. You will not be the church of God's true kingdom. In fact, there will not be a fellowship with what we would call the church and Almighty God. He will pull away our light from being a true witness to the world that is out there. In other words, the very thing that we are to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and when God saves them by His grace through faith, that we make disciples of all people groups, baptize them in the name of the triune God, teach them whatsoever things Jesus has commanded us, that won't happen anymore. It's over with. And therein we will search and look about for His presence and the light of His presence. This is a horrible judgment. And notice, they were doing all the things right. But there was the one thing, and it was a love relationship. He says, look how far you have fallen. When I meet with married couples, oftentimes they will say, you don't know what happened. It just happened. And I tell them, that's a lie. That is absolutely not true. In fact, it's taken some time to do that. Isn't it something that the Apostle Paul uses the marriage relationship in Ephesians to relate to the church? Calls it a mystery. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, be submissive unto your husbands as to the Lord. I sit down with all of these couples, and I'll just share with them some things. What are the things that you no longer do? It's amazing. Some of the simplest things, they just stopped doing. But those were the very things that brought them together. Those were the very things that were holding them in a relationship together. For us, it's that it's seeking the face of God in prayer and in His Word. It's even being in a fellowship with one another and studying His Word together and singing to Him, singing praises to Him. It's going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who do not know Him. It's having the opportunity to train up children in the way that they should go according to the Word of God. And so when we will look at it and say, Lord, I don't know what happened. It just happened, he would say that's not true. Take a look and see how far you have fallen. If the church has been removed by Christ, then it means it's not a true church, it's a false church. That's devastating. And it's not part of God's kingdom. It's become part of the world's kingdom. And sadly today, at the expense of the Word of God, pastors don't allow the Word of their own God to come in, thinking that this is going to be the magic bullet to bring people to church. And people will come. People will come. Many of them have great crowds. Dr. Mack Brunson said one time about great crowds, Disney has great crowds. He was right. So we're not looking for a great crowd. We're looking to honor the glory of Jesus Christ. So, I don't know how many churches have been removed, but perhaps this is why in the United States of America, we have all of these studies that show there are millions, billions, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And yet we have multitudes, multitudes of sin in pockets throughout our nation. For no longer there's a godly witness for the unborn, for life or for the elderly's life, or for those who may be called pain. We no longer have a great witness for that which is right, hate that which is evil, love that which is good. Our witness is fallen. There are many churches that will house thousands and thousands of people. But what are they doing beyond those walls? Have they been removed? Is no longer the presence of God there? Has He withdrawn them as a light in the world? There was a warning, quite frankly. The doctrine of purity is not enough. And that warning is going to be shattering to some when Jesus Christ comes back. Why? Because they are doctrinally sound, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? And he will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. No relationship. They had stood so strong against the Nicolaitans. And they said that these Nicolaitans said that Christ had done away with the law. He's instituted this Christian liberty, that the soul and spirit is far more important than the body of the man. And the results are clearly seen doctrinally. If there's no law to give to us, then what we do? What? We can profess there's Jesus Christ, but there's no spirit in us to actually know him. I can do whatever my body wants to, therefore. The Spirit of God, in other words, is dead to me. My body is my body. I will do whatever I choose to do with my body. I will live like I want to do. I will attend church when I want to attend church. I won't where I won't. I'll support it when I support it. As long as I'm doing what I am doing. In fact, if I do attend it week in and week out, and I give it week in and week out, then God must love me because of everything that my body is doing for the church, and they believe that they are eternally secure because they have been baptized. They believe that they are eternally secure because they're on the rolls of the church. The Ephesian church had preached and they had taught against the Nicolaitans. They had refused to allow this error in the church. They were doctrinally sound, but they stood taught and they stood staunchly for the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, but they lacked the love for Jesus. And that was the thing. That was the thing that Jesus said is going to get you in trouble. Because Christ never did away with the law. He fulfilled it. Amen. He not only fulfilled it, he filled it to the brim. He filled that law right up. In fact, Christ embraces the law so much more. We no longer follow the law, we follow Christ, yes, but remember this. Christ embraced the law and much more. And so, by following Jesus Christ in that love relationship, we end up actually keeping the law. Conducting our lives according to what Jesus would call us to conduct our lives with. By his own words, he says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So what do we do? Let me finish up with this real quick. Verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is not just to the corporate body, but it's to every believer in Jesus Christ who makes up the church. The overcomer. My dear friends, there's not one of us in this church today that doesn't struggle in a relationship with Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul says, I don't know why I do the things I'm not supposed to do, and I do the things I am not supposed to do. Why do I do these things? For the flesh is always at war with the Spirit, the Spirit always at war with the flesh. This is a struggle. But he says to the overcomer, the one who overcomes, everything that pulls us away from Jesus, whatever has taken us away from our relationship, those things, he says, must be overcome. And when they are overcome, shall be allowed to eat of the tree of life, the tree of God, that brings both the fullness of life and eternal life. Everything that the world is searching for. The question that we have before us is this. Jesus said, I just dropped in to see what condition your condition is in. But the truth is, that's up to us. He already knows. He started off Revelation 2, and verse 3 says, what? I know thy works. Nothing is given apart. My dear friends, Jesus has called us to be salt and light, to penetrate darkness, to know. But how can we do that without a love relationship with Jesus Christ? He is the bridegroom. He is the Lord of the church. And I would dare say that we should all pause and remember what He saying to us today. Get away from all those things that are taking away from me. And you do. Wow. Our testimonies with His Word will be more powerful than ever. People will come to faith in Jesus Christ. The baptistry waters will once again be stirred up. People will desire the Lord and desire to be with the family of God, to study His Word together, to pray together, to live in harmony and peace with one another, and to be trained up, equipped, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so to Greenville Second Baptist Church, to our brothers and sisters in the Indians as well, He calls us. Calls each and every one of us to check ourselves out, the great physician, to make sure that we will be, just as my wife and I were so concerned with one little speck of the examination, not even waiting. He said, oh God, search my heart. What is that wicked way within me? Create in me a clean heart, that I may do what you have called me to do in your power and with the love whereby you have loved me.